and welcome to season 4 of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera podcast. I'm soprano Suzanne Burgess, and I'm excited to return to the Atlanta Opera to perform the role of Helena in A Midsummer Night's Dream. I'm thrilled to be your host for this week's episode on Britain's adaptation of Shakespeare's chaotic comedy, rife with magical potions, mistaken identities, perplexed lovers, and more. One fact that I find interesting about A Midsummer Night's Dream is that the flower, which produces a love potion, causing much of the chaos in the show, is actually a real flower called Love in Idleness. It's said to be a white flower, a sort of pansy, struck by Cupid's arrow, causing it to turn purple and produce a love potion. Now let's dive into the plot. In Act 1, we find ourselves amidst the enchanting woods outside Athens, where Oberon, king of the fairies, and his queen Titania engage in a heated quarrel over a young boy who is under her protection. She refuses to give him up, and so Oberon sends his mischievous servant Puck on a mission to procure a magic flower. This flower's potion, when sprinkled on Titania's eyelids, will make her fall in love with the first creature she sees upon waking. Meanwhile, Lysander and Hermia, a pair of young lovers, flee the oppressive laws of Athens, seeking refuge in the forest. They decide to elope and set off into the woods. Demetrius, who also loves Hermia, chases after her, himself pursued by Helena, who is hopelessly in love with him. But Demetrius scornfully rejects her and runs off into the forest. Oberon, who has witnessed their argument, orders Puck to seek out Demetrius and make him fall in love with Helena with the help of a magic love potion. Amid this chaos, a group of amateur actors led by Peter Quince gather to rehearse a secret play for the wedding of Theseus, Duke of Athens, to Hippolyta, Queen of the Amazons. There is some disagreement over casting, with Bottom the Weaver and Flute the Bellows Mender finally agreeing to play the parts of Pyramus and Thisbe, the star-crossed lovers of the play's title. Quince the Carpenter, as well as the author and director of the play, hands out scripts and all agree to meet later that night to rehearse. Exhausted and lost, Lysander and Hermia lie down to sleep. Puck, who thinks he has found Demetrius, sprinkles the juice of the magic flower on Lysander's eyes. Demetrius then appears, still pursued by Helena, and angrily abandons her. Alone and in despair, she sees the sleeping Lysander and wakes him. Under the effect of the spell, he immediately declares his love for her. Helena is furious, thinking he is making fun of her, and runs off. Lysander follows. Hermia then awakes from a terrible dream to find herself alone. In the heart of the forest, the fairies help their mistress Titania to sleep. Sneaks in to put the love potion on her eyes, hoping that she will wake when something vile is near. As night unfolds into Act 2, the magical mischief continues. Quince and his men meet to rehearse. Puck, seeing them at work, decides to amuse himself by turning Bottom into an ass. At the sight of the strange and terrifying transformation, the others run off. Bottom sings out loud to keep his courage up. This wakes Titania, who immediately falls in love with him. With the help of the fairies, she manages to coax him into bed. Oberon, initially delighted that Titania has fallen for a donkey, realizes that Puck's error has enchanted the wrong Athenian. He intervenes by giving the love potion to Demetrius so that he will reciprocate Helena's love. When Demetrius then awakens and professes his love to Helena, chaos ensues, with accusations and quarrels among the lovers. Why? Enraged at Puck, Oberon gives him an antidote to administer to Lysander. Puck leads the lovers away through the forest until they fall asleep and puts the herb on Lysander's eyes. By Act 3, dawn approaches, bringing clarity and resolution. Oberon releases Titania from the spell with the ass. The lovers awaken, reconciled and united in true love's embrace. Demetrius with Helena and Lysander with Hermia. Bottom, restored to human shape, wakes from what he thinks was a strange dream. He wanders off while his friends search for him. They're about to give up when he returns with news that their play has been chosen to be performed at court. Back in Athens, Theseus the Duke pardons the lovers and arranges for their joint weddings, culminating in a joyous celebration marked by the performance of the comedic play. Another item of note is that the play within a play is meant to be entertaining for both opera buffs and first-time listeners alike. Not only is it hilarious in its own right, it contains many musical parodies and quotes from other operas. The Forest Music has a 12-tone undercurrent, Pyramus first enters to a quote from the Miserere from Il Trovatore, the Lion roars to a polka, and to top it all off, Thisbe's mad aria is a brilliant parody of Lucia di Lammermoor. I'm soprano Suzanne Burgess. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode of the Atlanta Opera podcast, Blink Opera. If you enjoyed learning more about A Midsummer Night's Dream, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to follow the Atlanta Opera podcasts for more great episodes.